This episode of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Burton, the podcasting coach here, and if you are interested in achieving success and achieving any big goal that you are after, what you have to do is fire yourself up and change your life. That is going to be the focus of this episode because our guest helps people do just that. She is a certified executive and personal development coach, author of 4 books in the Revolutionize series, host of the Revolutionize podcast, an 8-time entrepreneur, and a certified relaxation therapist. She has been interviewed by NBC, CBS, Success Magazine, Reader's Digest, Franchise Handbook, Advancing Women, and many more. She has also been interviewed on radio and podcasts all over the U.S. Our guest who joins us for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Peggy Caruso. Peggy, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Peggy, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success, and I feel like we all have to really fire ourselves up and think about how can we get this goal? How can we change our lives? And it really starts with those types of thoughts that build up, continue to build and gain momentum and help you achieve the results you want to achieve in your life. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, I know you have a book that goes a lot deeper into this, but what are some of the things we can do to fire ourselves up and build on some initial momentum?
Well, as you know, you can't do a goal in less than a minute, but you can begin to start making positive changes. So we all have areas in of our life, like relationships, parenting, personal development, career and family obligations. And you can start by taking one small step, which is a motivation to get you going.
And I love the small steps because I do feel like when we do, like, New Year's resolutions is a classic example. We set this big goal that looks really big, but it's only accomplished when you do figure out what are these small steps that get me to that promised land. And I do feel like, you know, small steps definitely helps out. Peggy brings up that really great point. I am wondering, though, how can we actually start? Because I honestly think starting is the hardest part. And then once you start, it gets easier and easier over time.
Absolutely. The biggest thing is making it into manageable steps, chunking it down. We all set goals small. We set short-term and long-term. But in any goal-setting process, it becomes overwhelming. And so what happens at the beginning of the year? Everybody's like, yeah, I'm going to lose X amount of weight. But if you stay focused in your mind and chunk it down into manageable steps, you can make that happen. So one thing, I can give you an example of, like, weight loss programs, because that's what everybody's geared up at the beginning of the year, right? So if you take a sticky note and put it on your scale and put it the weight that you want it to be and cover that weight, because what happens in my weight loss programs is people tend to look at the weight on the scale, and then they become discouraged because they've exercised, they've eaten correctly, they've done all these positive changes, but there are many things that can make your weight fluctuate. So there's water weight and all these different things. So people will get on the scale and look at that they gained a couple pounds, and then they're like, well, what's the sense in doing all this? And so if you keep that sticky note over there, you don't even know what that weight is underneath, and you still feel good. So you keep going. It's a very small thing to do, but it's a visual aid, and visual aids are very important in anything that you're trying to do for a goal.
And you bring up weight loss, which is a very goal that a lot of people go after. It's also a good metaphor for analogy for any person who has a goal where it's not like a habit. So you don't lose all, like, 100 pounds. Like, I've known people who they have gone on to lose 200 pounds or even more than that. I mean, it's really incredible what you can achieve, but none of those people ever came to me and said, I just found this secret riddle and I lost all this weight in like a day in a week. It's people who are making like lifelong changes that they lose the weight, but they keep the lifelong changes going. It's because you hear about people who they lose the weight and then they regain it all back. So you do have to make consistent habit and life changes that really stick and get you through. So I'm wondering, how can we make those types of changes, the long-lasting ones that get us through, whether it's weight loss, whether it's hitting a subscriber goal, and then being able to continue after you hit the goal instead of digress?
That is absolutely perfect, because I have people that come to me that, let's say you go to Weight Watchers and you lose your weight, but then you gain it back. So if you have the ability to lose the weight, then it's not a medical issue. It's a mind issue. And I'm all about the mind and working the mind. And so I incorporate different mind things that you can do and techniques to help you keep it off. So if you gain it back, I mean, your mindset is what tells you the weight you want to be. Like, I am somebody that has maintained the same weight throughout my whole life, but I've always kept in my mind the weight that I want to be. Have I fluctuated a little bit up and down? Absolutely. But I think people get discouraged too quickly. And so if you use visual aids, it helps in your mind. Like, let me give you an example. In physical exercise, we do, say, sit-ups. So you start out doing the sit-ups, and then you build, you know, you build the definition and you keep going because it hurts after a while. But if you keep going, then you build up to that. It's the same thing, whether it's smoking cessation or weight loss. So it's all begins in your mind. That's what keeps the weight off.
And I mean, it is a really great insight that people, we do often get discouraged. And it's just something that I feel like if you're pursuing something so meaningful, there are challenges. There are days where you may feel discouraged because, you know, you go on scale and you don't lose that much weight, or you don't see as much growth as you'd like to see. Sure. And I think just as it's important to, you know, have these new habits, create these new changes in your life, that discouragement is going to have some type of presence. And I mean, part of it is human nature, but regardless, it is going to have some presence. So how do you suggest we counteract the discouragement feeling? Like, how do we get through that and not let it drag us down?
That's why I wrote this book, because in my years of practice as an executive and personal development coach and all my interviews across the United States, everybody in the media always asks, like, Peggy, how do you just make this happen? And how can we just get there? And then people will bring their children and look, can you just fix them? And how quick can you fix them? Everybody wants a quick fix. Mm-hmm. And so I was driving myself crazy, like, oh, how can you write a book with a quick fix in less than a minute? But you can't. It's exactly what I said in the beginning of this interview. It is the incremental steps that create the motivation to keep you moving toward the bigger goal. But if you start with a big goal and you don't know how to appreciate all the small steps that you take, you're never going to reach the goal. You're going to give up.
And I do like this talk about quick fixes. You hear instant gratification. That's a term that gets thrown around. And I mean, you see it in a lot of successful people that they are long-term. You look at any athlete, they didn't start playing baseball, basketball, football when they turned 20. They started when they were 5. And if you look at any CEO, we'll just throw Jeff Bezos because I know a little bit more about the storyline, but there were years where Amazon intentionally did not turn in a profit just so it could reinvest into some of the bigger ventures like Amazon Web Services, which, you know, has become a very dominant part of their business. So, I mean, like a company like Amazon has like a like multiple year long plan in the making to get to where they are now. You look at athletes who literally spend their entire lives working to perfect in their sport. And those are not quick fixes, but we are, for some reason, attracted to the quick fix and think that is going to be our golden ticket instead of taking the long-term path. So with that in mind, I'm wondering, how can we get better at thinking long-term and going after goals that do not give the instant gratification, but give the really good payoff.
Because you have to have that visionary process. You have to have that goal that everybody laughs at, that it seems like it's so far out there that you're never going to reach it. But in goal setting, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with goal setting, but you actually, to truly goal set, you do incremental steps. That's what's so cool about understanding how the small steps motivate you. And so if you put that in your planning, and it's kind of like a to-do list, okay? So people are, come in my office, a lot of corporate people, and they're just so stressed out about to-do list. And so, as you know, like you can do ABC, you can do like, okay, start out with a big goal and cross it off, and then it's a motivator for you. Or you can start with like five small things before you get to the big thing, and that's a motivator for you. It's what works for you. You have to tailor your plan to what coincides with who and what you are internally.
We have more great content coming up in this episode, but first we have a message from today's sponsor, Jobber. Jobber's award-winning software helps small home service businesses organize their entire operations, from scheduling jobs and managing their crews to invoicing customers and collecting payments. That way, you can spend more time on the services you're already great at. Job by job, business by business, Jobber is transforming the ways their customers deliver service. Start your free trial over at getjobber.com/breakthrough. All right, let's get right back into the episode. And I do agree with the tailoring your plan part. I mean, a lot of people, they, when it comes to like, let's say like growing a podcast, they look at something online and they're like, I'm going to fit into this person's plan for how to grow a podcast and not think it, because it worked for this person. So if I just do everything that they did, it's going to work for me too. And the issue with that is you may not like doing the work that they did to achieve their growth. Some of the things may not work anymore. Like looking at a guide on Google Ads / AdWords in 2004, that's going to be very different from what one of those guides looks like today, because it was much easier back then. So it is important to, yes, learn, yes, look at how other people are doing it, but really tailor your plan based on who you are, what you like to do, and what your strengths are, so you are able to see that momentum. And I'm wondering, how do you incorporate, because we do have to learn from other people. Like we sure. don't, we have to like, you know, we got to know what we don't know. But how do we have that mix of seeing someone's strategy in play for the thing we want to achieve, taking that strategy and tweaking it and still getting good results?
I have a perfect example. I was actually just having a conversation the other day with this really intelligent doctor. And one of the subjects that come up was Think and Grow Rich. And I'm sure you're familiar with the book, are you? By Napoleon Hill?
Oh, yes.
Yes, everyone knows about that. Okay, so think about the era that it was written in, correct? And it's so outdated in so many ways. And there's so many things about it that are like, eh. But I've read that book probably 200 times. It is how you perceive what you want to get out of that book. So he targets that book towards success. And if he would have kept his focus off The Secret and just kept everything else in line, like the law of attraction is not, you know, like some sort of hocus pocus that you just close your eyes and imagine something and it happens. Of course, it's not that easy, or we'd all be able to do it. But it's there's so many hidden things in that book. So it's the same with anything. Like I went and took a course, and it's something that I took 5 years ago, and they were still handing out the same material, just as you said, like 5 years old. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you didn't update this. But it's what you want to get out of it, that you can still take the basic part of what was the foundation of that program to get you to where you need to go. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I do agree on that. I mean, I'd rather get everything I want out of it than, you know, like overlook good stuff because of something that happens. Like for my books, like I'm more focused on just getting them out as quickly as possible. I do eyeball them once, but I totally acknowledge there's probably going to be a typo in there somewhere. Like, my books are not meant to be grammatically perfect. I'm just meant to get them out every 2 weeks. And even though there are some typos and different things like that, people still really enjoy the books. So it's just a really matter of what you get from it. And the more the foundation, then like the really specific things that probably don't matter.
I love that you said that, because that's awesome that you are just willing to, you know, keep driving and getting your message out there. It doesn't matter. And the people that look for the typos aren't interested in the content. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And I mean, even like with these episodes, like my version of editing, granted, like if something happens, like there's something, like I cut that out. But my version of editing for the most part is I take the QuickTime file, cut out the beginning, cut out the end where, like, you know, like it's leading into the intro. And that's really it. Like, to me, like, it's more about how much can you get out versus perfecting everything and not being able to get as much content out because of this thirst for perfection, which can really paralyze people from taking action, from pursuing initiatives. That sense of perfection can really hurt people. So I do feel like we should talk about perfection and some of the ways that, if you are listening to this and you feel like a perfectionist, what are some of the ways that we can like not have perfection have as much of an impact on us?
Wow, that's perfect conversation as well, because I'm OCD. Being an OCD person, I've worked extremely hard at helping myself not to become so OCD. So there are things that you can do to set yourself up so that it doesn't bother you as much. And you have to do it, again, incrementally, because it's overwhelming. Somebody who is OCD needs to have perfection and everything. Everything has to be in its place. I can remember my kids trying to play jokes on me, trying to move my little cherubs that I had, or to see if I would notice. Of course I would notice. I would always notice if someone was in my home. But I now try to do things to step out of my comfort zone. And so my recommendation to anyone out there is just do small things that aren't going to cause you panic or grief, but just take it in incremental steps to do something. Maybe like everything doesn't have to be perfect. Light switches don't have to be perfect. Coffee pots, you don't have to fill them to the top before you leave. Just do little things like that to start, and you'll see that it incrementally it will help you.
And I love the incremental, because, like, for me, like, you know, being a perfectionist, that doesn't really affect me. But if someone is really, like, you know, they are really keen about being perfect, you do have to take it incrementally. One thing I will say, I do go to an event twice a year called New Media Summit. It's a place for, you know, you could appear on podcasts like a bunch of mine. But one of the reasons I bring this up is because they have a bunch of parts where you get to dance. And dancing, like, a lot of us are like your average person just dancing, trying to figure out how to dance while dancing. And, you know, it's really, you can't really be perfect in dancing unless, you know, like the sport player example, you've been practicing for 10 years. Sure. And I do feel like that is a position where if you are in that kind of atmosphere where it's low risk, like, what's really going to happen if you, like, aren't dancing that well in that kind of an atmosphere? And if you find, like, low risk ways, like small step ways to, you know, let your perfectionism go a little bit, it is easier for you to take more action. It is easier for you to put in the work that's necessary to hit your goals. And then, as Peggy really covers in her book, it is a lot easier for you to fire yourself up and change your life.
Sure. And it's more enjoyable, isn't it? Like, if you can just take everybody, like, I'm somebody, you'd never guess it, but I'm super shy and I'm introverted. So for me to go into a ballroom setting and, you know, really dressed up and be dancing, I would be really nervous. But if you can tune everybody out and you can just put yourself in, like, my space, your space, you actually enjoy. And if you really look around, nobody's watching you anyway. And so I think it's what we create for ourselves that is our detriment. We are our own worst saboteur.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely believe that. And I mean, if you aren't, I mean, I'm an introvert. I definitely classify as an introvert. You never hear it in these interviews, but it's one of those things where I had someone who, like a podcast and I, we were talking, it's pretty much you are an introvert trained to be an extrovert when you're interviewing someone or you're being interviewed. But there are a lot of introverts in the podcast and creative space, but I mean, it's just a matter of coming up little at a time. Like maybe like a lot of YouTubers, they start just with like slideshows or like not showing themselves on camera. And then they build up to that point where they feel like, you know, making those appearances. So it is a build up, but the important thing is to be building. And I think that that's just one of the many things that we've highlighted in this episode. Peggy's book, we've been talking about it a bit. That's going to be in the show notes. But is there anything else that you want us to include in the show notes so we could continue following your work and journey on different places?
You know what? Just start by doing something. Be kind. Don't judge people. Remember that everybody isn't the same. And, you know, I'm somebody that's super kind and super generous. And so you don't always understand someone else's story. So, I mean, that's my biggest message out there.
That's real. I mean, I definitely love the message behind that. And we will include that message in the show notes also, because I feel like that is a message that a lot more people need to have. And we'll have some other nice things in there as well. But Peggy, once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I certainly appreciate it.
This episode of the Breakthrough Success Podcast was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months. Find out more at getjobber.com/breakthrough.